Welcome to Films from the Phantom Zone, your podcast about failed and forgotten comic book movies, where we watch a forgotten superhero movie and decide, does this belong in the Phantom Zone to be forgotten for forever or out and about for everyone to rewatch and remember fondly? My name is Arnaldo. I'm your host, and I'm joined by
Birdo.
And we're not watching a movie. We are reviewing Birdo.
Madam Web.
In theaters now, Madam Web. You said that so quietly.
I wish I could have been more excited to say it.
As if you could get out of this somehow, and you can't. It's happening. We're doing it. Let's go. Anyway, guys, we are live on Twitch. We record all these episodes live on Twitch. If you like the show, you want to be a part of it, come on by. We're not as regular anymore. But, I mean, you can follow us, twitch.tv/filmsfrompz, and see when we're streaming. If you join our Discord, I'll tell you in advance. I should just get in the habit of tweeting it in advance also. But if you're here, you can hang out with us, like Spider Nerd Cosplays, like Arculus here, who's saying he's guessing that Birdo's going to love it because it's a new morb. Hold that thought, maybe. Recently, we actually did a movie recently. We did The Last Airbender. It was a huge episode, right? It took weeks of planning. It took a week of editing. Sable was on it. Blake's Takes, as in Blake and Garrett, were both on it.
We had to watch the stupid movie.
We watched all of... Did you watch Avatar The Last Airbender?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How far did you get? Or did you just watch the whole show in an afternoon?
I'm on book two.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna start book two now. I watched all of book one. Anyway, so we're super excited for Avatar. You can hear The Last Airbender episode is out now. And if you join us on Where's Mephisto on our Patreon, we'll be talking about the Netflix show as it comes out. It's not going to be in one, but we'll still find time to talk about it.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get started with this. Madam Web, if you haven't done one of these with us, we're going to not spoil the movie until we tell you that we are in spoiler territory.
Can anything be spoiled?
Yeah, that's another thing. This is not one of those, you know? So
it's not some big mystery or anything.
Everyone's like, hey, that's the other thing. On Twitter, like, everyone's just like kind of like just spoiling the movie. Like, nobody cares.
Right.
But, you know, for consistency's sake,
yeah,
let's not spoil the movie until it's time to spoil the movie. How about that?
Okay.
Cool. So this movie is written by, there's a list so long of writers on this movie, and that's already not a good sign.
Well, apparently it's the same writers that have done Morbius, Venom, Venom 2.
It's all just the same group.
All the Sony, what the hell is the universe called now?
SSU? SSU, the Sony Spider-Man universe.
Still no Spider-Man.
Right. So, story by Karim Sanga, Matt Sazama, Burke Sharpless. Screenplay by Matt Sazama, Burke Sharpless, and Claire Parker and S.J. Clarkson. Movies directed by S.J. Clarkson. Woo! This movie came out on a Wednesday?
It came out on Wednesday.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, we saw it yesterday.
The
people that go on a date to see it on Valentine's Day.
Okay, thank you for bringing that up because it's like, I kind of question that release date. Who's going to go see a movie on Valentine's Day?
People do it all the time.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Like dinner and a movie?
Yeah, that's a thing.
I guess you're right. Who's going to see this fucking movie on Valentine's
Day? That's a better question because this is not really a good Valentine's Day movie. Not really a good movie. Let's get to it.
I think what it is that Dakota Johnson and Sydney Sweeney are going to bring people to see this movie. Sable was saying about how she wants to see this movie.
Just because of...
And I'm like, why? She's like, okay, I like Dakota Johnson. I like Sydney Sweeney. I'm like, yeah, but this movie's going to be awful. Like, haven't you heard? Where have you been? And she's like, why is it going to be bad? And I'm like, I started explaining it to her, but she didn't care.
She's like, I just want to see it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I'm like, are they banking on like women who like these two leads to go see the movie?
That might actually push these numbers up.
And that's the thing. Number one, it's too early to tell. I think this movie might accidentally profit. Hear me out. The budget is only $80 million. We went yesterday on a Thursday, which was not the opening day. It was the second day.
And the theater was like full. The
theater was full. Yeah. So I think there's a considerable... See, all of us are nerds. If you're in the fucking chat right now, you're a nerd. Generous Fingers, Arculus, you're nerds.
Maybe.
So I know you're nerds. You don't have to tell me. So it's like, we don't understand the concept of like what the general populace is doing. And I think a regular person goes, hey, a superhero movie starring these people I like, let's go see it. They don't fucking know that this is a Sony movie that is Marvel adjacent.
It's in association with Marvel.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they don't know that these are like Spider-Man, like offshoot characters. that Spider-Man is not in this movie, even though there's like an evil Spider-Man in this movie.
There
like,
is a Spider-Man in this movie.
Like, they don't think about that. They just go, I don't know, it's a fucking superhero movie. There's a million of those. Let's go see one. You know?
Yeah. I bet if I told Arculus that this was the MCU debut of Gambit, he'd fucking jump on it.
Every week we have to remind Arculus that his favorite character is Gambit.
He reminds me.
Hey, how's that Gambit movie coming along? It's canceled.
We'll probably get Gambit in the MCU soon.
Did you see, I mean, you saw the trailer where he like rides Wolverine and then charges up his claws. That was pretty fucking cool. Arculus, maybe you can answer this question. If he does that, doesn't that mean that Wolverine's claws are just going to explode? Because he charges things and that thing explodes. That's why he uses a deck of cards, right?
Yeah, Arculus.
How's that going to work?
Educate us on Gambit.
How's Wolverine going to survive this or weaponize it? Is he going to shoot it out of his claws?
Healing factors? I don't know.
He does heal, but like that just seems weird to just hurt him to be used as a projectile or whatever. Arculus says, no, he can control the degree to which it enhances shit.
So okay. I guess it doesn't have to blow up.
It doesn't all blow up, then it doesn't all just explode. I just thought he charges stuff, then it explodes.
Isn't he like an Omega level mutant?
No way. Is he? No way.
I know Iceman is.
Is he? No way. Iceman?
Iceman is.
I know Storm is. He was about to destroy the universe. Okay. He had to be nerfed, he says. I'm over Gambit. I don't talk about him anymore. Let's get going.
All right. Let's talk about Madame Web.
Madame Web, starring Dakota Johnson, Sydney Sweeney, Isabella Merced, Celeste O'Connor, Tahar Rahim, Emma Roberts, and Adam Scott. Background on this character. We're going to do this a little bit before we get into the actual movie. Yeah, Birdo, so you've got some stuff on us.
There's actually a lot of characters in this movie that we haven't seen in movies yet. And some that we have. But
yeah, please tell me, because I know very little about Madame Web. I know very little about Ezekiel, what his face is. And I know very little about the three spider women in this. They're all spider woman, right?
One of them is spider girl.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. But I guess in this movie...
Isn't Gwen technically a spider girl?
Gwen is technically a spider woman.
Oh, she's a spider woman.
But she's also known as Ghost Spider right now. Oh. She's got a bunch of names too.
Okay.
So we have Cassandra Webb, who is Madame Webb in this movie. Her first appearance was in The Amazing Spider-Man number 210, which was published in November of 1980.
Oh, she's a lot older than I thought.
Yeah. And she's usually depicted as an elderly blind woman with myasthenia gravis. Some sort of muscular disease. I think they mentioned in the movie, actually.
Oh, it's like a real thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's usually connected to a life support system that resembles a spider web. She's a mutant in the comics.
Oh, okay.
So that's how she got her power. She's a mutant.
Wow.
She possesses clairvoyance, precognition, and telepathy.
That's so funny. I'm pretty sure that they like legally wouldn't be able to have done that. Make her a mutant in this.
No, yeah.
Not without like Disney's A-OK.
And they have like a tenuous partnership.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Continue.
She worked as a professional medium before getting involved with Spider-Man and all the super heroics that comes with. In her first appearance, she helps Spider-Man find a kidnapped victim. She is eventually hunted and killed by Anna Kravinoff. I think that's Kraven's daughter. But before she dies, she's able to pass her powers and her blindness to Julia Carpenter.
Why would you pass your blindness?
I think it's just part of it.
That's so dumb. Okay, continue.
And then Julia Carpenter becomes the next Madame Web. Speaking of Julia Carpenter, she is in this movie as well.
That's Sydney Sweeney, right?
Yes.
Okay.
In the movie, she's called Julia Cornwall, which is part of her name in the comics as well.
It's okay.
Like one of her middle names or something.
All right.
Her first appearance was in Secret Wars number 6 in October of 1984.
Yeah, Secret Wars.
Yeah, that was the first Secret Wars.
Right. The one to sell toys.
Yeah. Julia was unknowingly a test subject in experiments done by a government organization called the Commission. And that's how she received her powers, because she was, quote, accidentally injected with a mix of spider venom and exotic plant extracts.
Oh, okay.
She's gone by the titles of Spider-Woman, Arachne, and Madame Web.
Arachne, like the Latin?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how it looks like it's spelled, at least.
Okay.
Her powers are, she's got, like, you know, the typical spider powers that everybody gets with, like, the strength, right, speed, stamina, wall crawling. Her webs are created out of psychokinetic energy, and she does have a healing factor, and obviously she has all of Madame Web's powers when she becomes Madame
Web. Okay, right.
And next up we have Anya Corazon, who is, in the comics, Spider-Girl.
All right.
I guess in this movie she's just one of the spider women.
Yeah, they don't have names.
No, they don't.
But it's, we'll get to it.
Her first appearance was in Amazing Fantasy number 1, which was in August of 2004. So not the old Amazing Fantasy, I guess some sort of reboot of it.
Right.
Her original superhero name was Araña.
Okay. That's Spanish.
Spanish for spider?
Spider, yeah.
Yeah. And then she later went by Spider-Girl. She was the first Spider-Girl chronologically, but the second one that was published, the first Spider-Girl that was published was Mayday Parker, and that was from like a what-if story.
Gotcha.
I think it's also in the future, because that's Peter and MJ's kid.
I was about to ask.
The way she got her powers was on her first day at Milton Summers High School in Fort Greene, Brooklyn, she gets caught in a skirmish between two mystical clans, the Spider Society and the Sisterhood of the Wasp. And then she gets mortally wounded, and a mage named Miguel Lagar from the Spider Society performs a ritual on her.
What?
By giving her a spider-shaped tattoo that endows her with spider-like powers and saves her life. Then he recruits her to be a hunter for the Spider Society. It's weird stuff.
How is this? Is the Spider Society related to Spider-Man at all, or just these are all just?
I think that ends up being related with like the spider totems and all that. And, but this movie doesn't get into that at all, and that's a whole other can of worms.
Okay. After you do this, do spider totem, just like real quick.
Just like look it up real quick.
No, like tell me like what it is.
Okay.
Because I don't fully understand it, is what I'm saying.
All right. And then her powers are, again, the spider strength, speed, stamina, wall crawling, all that. And she uses spider-like grappling hooks to traverse. And she can actually grow a protective exoskeleton at some point. This is like earlier in her career.
So like kind of like a spider.
Kind of like an actual spider, yeah.
Okay, wow.
Next up we have Maddie Franklin, another spider woman.
Okay.
Her first appearance was in The Spectacular Spider-Man number 262, which was in October of 1998. So she's a little more recent.
Wasn't she in Spider-Verse? Or is that someone else?
All of them appeared in Spider-Verse in some form.
Okay.
But the main one that we see in Spider-Verse is Jessica Drew.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
They look similar, though. They got the afro. They got the legs.
Well,
right?
Yeah, the Jessica Drew in Spider-Verse doesn't look like Jessica Drew from the comics. She looks more like Maddie Franklin.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. She was a troubled youth who grew up with her father after her mother died, and her father's a rich man. After overhearing a phone call between her father and Norman Osborn about something called the Gathering of the Five, she takes her father's place during the gathering and is endowed with the powers that Norman Osborn was intending to get for himself. So her powers that she gets, I guess Norman wanted them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's pre-Green Goblin or not.
Right.
She was an obsessive fan of Spider-Man, and her first costume was actually like almost identical to his. She's had like a ponytail. That was the only difference.
Oh, okay.
All right. At some point, she fights a villain named Charlotte Witter, who is also Spider-Woman.
Charlotte, like Charlotte's Web?
I guess.
Is her official name Spider-Woman?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But yeah, Charlotte Witter also goes by Spider-Woman, and during the fight, she absorbs Maddie's powers. At some point, Maddie's able to reabsorb the powers, but she not only gets her own powers back, but all of the previous Spider-Women's powers back.
Who's Maddie again?
The Spider-Woman that I'm talking about.
The
one with the arms.
Dude, even during this, I couldn't get all the names straight because what's Madame Web's name again? Cassie.
Yes.
You know why? Because didn't Sydney Sweeney play a Cassie at some point?
I have no idea.
That threw me off. And I feel like maybe one of them played a Maddie also. Anyway, continue.
All right. So she absorbs the powers of all the other spider women. The powers do eventually get returned to everybody, though. It's not a permanent thing. Fun fact about her is J. Jonah Jameson is a close friend of her father. And I believe in this movie, she mentions having an Uncle Jonah.
She did, didn't she?
Yeah.
There was also a Daily Bugle reference.
Yeah, so there are Spider-Man references in this movie. And her powers are, again, the spider strength and all that, wall crawling. But she can fly at subsonic speeds, and she can project bioelectricity.
Who did the electric web in this one? Wasn't it Julia? I think it was her. Or was it her? Although I think
Julia... It looked like Julia did it, but I think that's supposed to be like the psionic.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But Maddie also has psionic spider legs and webbing.
Okay.
And she actually has spider sense, something the other spider women didn't have, and mild telepathy.
Okay. Well,
I don't know what mild means. Maybe she can receive it but can't send it.
I feel like either you have it or you don't.
Yeah.
You can either communicate through your mind or you can't. But go ahead.
Which, all right, next character is Ezekiel Sims, who
is... Okay, yeah, the villain.
The villain of this movie and the Spider-Man of this movie, I guess.
Right, yeah.
His first appearance was in The Amazing Spider-Man number 30 in June of 2001. He was a rich businessman who, in his younger years, ritualistically gained the power similar to those of Spider-Man.
What does that mean?
He did some weird, freaky spider ritual.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks.
He wanted to use his powers to be a hero, but instead he used them to create and develop a corporation.
I mean, well, that happens, right? Yeah. Either be the hero or you live long enough to create a corporation and be an evil conglomerate.
Well, his logic was that he couldn't do anything without a base of operations. Okay. So he's like, oh, I got to be like Batman.
Yeah, I got to hire people and we're at it.
Peter Parker kind of raise prices doing that in the comics, too.
He actually does.
We get like Parker into industries and stuff. Yeah.
I wonder if
people
he's nice.
Hated that.
Yeah. Why is he in Spider-Man like in capitalism now?
Right. Later in life, in his 50s, Ezekiel contacts Spider-Man, explaining to him the nature of animal totems. And these are people who gain supernatural abilities from a mystic link to certain animals.
Okay.
So a little bit in the spider totems.
We're getting there, yeah.
He suggested that the spider that bit Peter Parker was not mutated by the radiation, but actually trying to give Peter its powers before the radiation killed the spider.
Oh,
so the spider got irradiated, it was dying, and it seeked out Peter to transfer the powers to him.
Right, okay. Because in this, at least, like, the spider, we'll get into it. It's not a spoiler, but like, there's spiders in this.
Yes.
And they have spider powers. Right. They're like the spider.
So this movie touches on that a little bit, but it doesn't quite go all the way with it.
But like, they're not genetically created. They're not created in a lab or anything like that. Like, they just exist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So after getting his powers, this means that Spider-Man is now part of the supernatural food chain and becomes a target for other totem. God damn it.
You see, okay, I just want to point out something real quick. When I'm reading and I fuck up, you make fun of me.
Yeah.
It's hard. When you're put on the spot, it's hard.
All right. So this means that Spider-Man was now part of the supernatural food chain and has become a target for other totems and beings who feed on totems. And a lot of this is actually touched on in the Spider-Verse comic event.
Oh.
The villains in that, they're hunting all of the spider totems in each universe and feeding off of them.
Okay.
The spider totem in each universe is basically the person that has the powers from that
animal at that time.
Yes.
Okay.
A little bit more about the totems is because of the like mystical elements of it. You know how a lot of Spider-Man's villains are like animal themed?
Yeah.
Like with powers
like
and
all
stuff?
Of them.
They're all totems and they're all like in a weird way like attracted to each other. Like they're
like Rhino, Scorpion.
Yeah, like they're like destined to meet or fight or whatever.
Vulture.
So it gives the whole Spider-Man origin a lot of mysticism.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I kind of like it, but I also kind of miss the good old-fashioned radioactive spider.
Yeah.
And Ezekiel's powers are just Spider-Man powers. He's Spider-Man. He's just another Spider-Man.
Right. But he doesn't have webbing.
No, because Spider-Man doesn't have webbing either.
Right.
So, yeah, and we see that in this movie. He doesn't have webbing. He crawls around, though, and jumps and is very athletic. All right, two more characters.
And real quick, I didn't hate that. I like that.
I like that too.
I like that it's like, hey, here's a Spider-Man without webbing. How does he operate? Like, not relying on the webs or whatever, you know?
He jumps really far.
And he crawls, yeah. And he plans out his kind of maneuvers a little bit better. Yeah,
it's actually kind of cool. It's like a spider parkour.
Yeah.
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 All right, next up we have Mary Parker. That is Peter Parker's mom.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know
I'm
Mary.
I'm pretty sure we had already discussed her when we did The Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah. Two.
Did you know Emma Roberts was in this movie? I didn't know until I saw her on the screen.
Not until I saw her on screen.
I was like, oh, damn, this is the Marvel role. It's like, I got all these important ladies.
And the next very important character in this movie, Ben Parker.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
Wait. He dies.
That's his one job. He doesn't die in this movie, but we should know. But his one job is to die. Like, that is his
I think there's
only...
a couple universes where he becomes Spider-Man, but...
No way, really?
I think only, like, one or two.
That'd be fun. There was an old adage that said, nobody stays dead in comic books except for Jason Todd, Bucky Barnes, and Uncle Ben. Jason Todd and Bucky Barnes have since been revived and become very popular characters. Red Hood and the Winter Soldier, respectively, but not Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben still dead in most iterations. Yeah.
His job is to die and stay dead.
He's the inspiration for Peter to be Spider-Man.
Yeah, right. It defeats the purpose if he can't die.
You're right.
Anyway, all right. Thank you for that background. Let's get going into our no spoiler review for this movie, Madam Web. What do you think?
It's not good.
It's not good, is it? It's really not good.
Here's the thing, though. People are saying it's like the worst movie they've ever seen. And my response to that is, I don't think you've seen many bad movies.
I don't know if it's us because of what we do here on Films from the Phantom Zone, where we watch bad movies.
Right.
Like, we watch old movies or movies that, for whatever reason, were canceled or whose universes don't exist anymore. Like, that's the whole shit. So it's like we are used to watching kind of campy or bad movies. Like, for us, like, because I agree with you, I think it's bad. I don't think it's awful. You know what I mean?
I agree. Here's the thing. I still think it's better than both of the Venom movies. That might be a hot take.
If we had to rank the SSU so far.
Morbius, Madam Web, Venom 2, Venom.
Okay.
That's mine.
Put Venom 2 over Venom 1.
I like Venom 2, I think, a little bit more.
Ugh. Anyway.
Like a tiny bit more.
I say Madam Web. That's number one.
Wow.
Morbius, Venom. Now, hold on. Madam Web, Venom, Morbius, Venom 2.
You think this is the best Sony
Spider-Man
knockoff movie?
Obviously, that's not saying much. But I don't, like, the thing is like, I don't know, man. I feel like I have this theory on, like, perceived quality versus actual quality. When people go into, like, a movie and they know it's going to be bad and they want it to be bad, then, like, they're going to see things differently. They have a bias going in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel as if this was an MCU movie, same exact movie, I'm not saying people
would have been torn apart. Have you seen MCU fans lately?
I'm not saying people wouldn't be scrupulous to this. What I'm saying is, like, the attitude would be slightly different.
I don't know.
The attitude going in would be a lot different, and you'd get maybe 50% of the people coming out going like, oh no, I like it because this and this and this. Whereas
are you
the
forgetting
other 50,
all the MCU is dead people?
Yeah. But that's only like, that's less than half is what I'm saying. But like the other half would be like, oh no, this is awful. And then they'd be arguing about it. Whereas with this.
It'd be a Last Jedi situation.
Yeah. Yeah. One of those. Last Jedi is pretty good. But anyway, with this, I feel like people were like, oh no, this is an awful movie going in. And like, I've been on Twitter, like, combating these people because there's been so many people that are like, this is an actual line from Madam Web. This is an actual scene from Madam Web. And then they show something that's perfectly normal. And they're expecting people to be like, oh my God, like, I can't believe it. Like, there was a couple lines in this like, oh, you're an uncle. All the fun with no responsibility. And someone tweeted like, oh, this is an actual line from Madam Web. That's not a bad line. Am I crazy
here?
No,
that line wasn't bad. That was one of the good lines in the movie, actually.
I'm like, that's a I'm an uncle. I've been told that a gajillion times.
Especially the response to that line was good.
You're an uncle, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever been told something like that? Like, oh, you get to have all the fun, but you don't have any of the responsibility.
Yeah, it's a pretty common thing
to say. It's a very common thing to say. So it's like, what are you actually trying to do? The other one was like, oh, you've never been shot at in Queens? I'm like, okay, first of all, you took that line out of context. Within the context of the scene, it made a lot more sense. And it's like, it's not great. Don't get me wrong. Like, nothing in this movie is great. I just want to be, like, I'm not defending it.
I'm also going to say, on a technical standpoint, this movie is pretty terrible, too.
But there are things that are, like, surprisingly not that bad. Like, I've seen, okay, hold on a second. We're going to get into it. But, like, the CGI in this movie is, for the most part,
CGI is fine. And we said the same thing about Morbius. That CGI was totally fine.
That's the thing. It's like, I've seen worse CGI in like Marvel movies.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are we saying here? You know what I mean? I feel like most people, first of all, if you didn't see the movie, I don't believe in like uneducated opinions. I don't believe in that.
Well, also the line that people keep memeing is only in the trailer. It's not in the movie.
Exactly. That would be an awful line, because it is an awful
line.
They
did the same thing with Morbius. There was a line that was in the trailer that everybody made fun of. It wasn't even in the movie.
Yeah.
It was the, he's like, oh, some sort of radar sent. It's like, he doesn't say that in the movie.
Yeah. They don't say, how does it go?
They don't say it's Morbin time.
No. In here. When my mom was in the Amazon
researching
spiders.
Yeah, that's only in the trailer. And I think it's just to educate, give people gist of what the movie's about.
Yeah, but they shouldn't have done it.
No, it's not a good line.
But it's also not in the movie, so you can't hold this movie accountable for that.
Right.
Anyway.
Maybe it was in the movie at some point and they cut it, but whatever.
What I was getting at is that I don't believe in uneducated opinions, meaning if you haven't seen this movie, you don't get to go online and roast it. You don't. Like, that's stupid, and that's
unethical. Well, yeah,
because
how do you have an opinion on something you haven't experienced?
Exactly. Yeah. I literally think that's unethical. Stop doing it. Like, go watch the movie, and then rip it to shreds if you want. But, like, you can't just go off. Like, I told fucking Garrett this when he was, like, ripping on the Last Airbender. I was like, no, The Last Airbender is a bad movie. But you don't get to say that. You haven't experienced it. Like, you can't just go.
You haven't seen it.
You can't just go off what other people are saying. Like, go, like, watch the movie and then form your opinion off of it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It just annoyed me because it's like, I think this movie is bad. I don't think it's awful. The premise of this film is not good. It's great. And let me explain. I'm not talking about Madame Web. I'm talking about there is an evil Spider-Man. And there's a group of people with no superpowers who have to run away from that
because he's
evil
tracking
Spider-Man
them down,
and he's trying to kill them.
Yeah,
that is a great idea, not a good idea, a great
idea. It is. It's a very, very, very good idea. I don't think it's executed well at all.
Not at all.
Unfortunately,
that's not my point. My point is, I enjoyed this. I actually like. Look, it's not good, but I enjoyed myself because there is enough of that concept still within this film for me to find it enjoyable.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
There was like bits of it where I would like perk up. I'm like, oh, this is getting interesting.
Yeah.
But then
something dumb happens.
Right. Right. I feel like I almost enjoyed it, but I didn't quite get there, you know?
Okay. Think about how many, like, in the last, like, how long has the MCU been around? Just even since the MCU, it's been like 15 years or whatever.
Yeah.
In that amount of time, how many superhero movies have come out? Like 50? Like, like not just MCU, but like MCU, DC, Sony, and like, I don't know, The Boys and shit like that. And Invincible.
Oh, yeah.
There's
been
so many,
a lot.
There's been like 50 to like fucking 60 things. And not once have a regular group of people had to run away from a superhero gone rogue. You know?
The Boys kind of does that.
All right. Fuck. But do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I legitimately think that's a great concept. Every single one of those properties is someone with superpowers fighting someone else with superpowers.
There's a horror movie with that concept, the Brightburn.
I have not
seen it yet.
Is that the kid who's kind of like an evil Superman?
Yeah.
Mm.
It's his parents trying to get away from him, basically.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, I really want to see that movie.
Now I really want to watch that because I think this is a very interesting concept.
Yeah.
And no, it should be explored more.
This movie
more.
Has some pretty interesting elements from, like, Terminator.
It is very Terminator. Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. That is what that is. Right? You've got kind of this...
unstoppable...
Horror. Yeah, those
are
horror
elements.
Or any
slasher, really. Yeah.
It's just like a slasher. I would love it if a superhero movie could kind of veer into slasher territory like that.
Yeah, because this movie didn't do it enough, I feel like.
Yeah.
It gets real close sometimes, and then it backs off.
Right afterwards, we went out to dinner, and you were mentioning that, like, there are some kind of parts where it gets kind of scary. Not like we are afraid, but, like, it's tapping into those horror elements.
Yeah.
But it didn't go far enough.
No. Like, and I think if it did, that would have benefited the movie a lot, actually.
Oh, my God, so much more. It would have given this movie an identity,
yeah,
which right now
it
doesn't have.
This has elements of, like, Final Destination in it, too. Kind of.
Or like, isn't there a movie with Nick Cage?
Knowing?
Yeah. Where he kind of like...
Is it Knowing or is it Deja Vu?
Ah, fuck. I don't know, dude.
Knowing's the one where he knows all the natural disasters are going to happen and stuff.
Deja Vu is the one where he can go back in time, right?
I think he could see like a little bit into the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. What this is. Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah. They like just lean into that and this could have been a pretty decent movie.
To kind of move past this. Great premise. If you asked me before we watched this movie and before we, you know, I kind of discovered this premise, I would have said no Spider-Man villain or even side character deserves their own movie. But that's just what Sony wants to do, right? Because they want to pump out more films.
Right.
Venom, literally the only one, I think, is Venom.
And I don't think they did it right.
Yeah, right. But I think Venom is the only Spider-Man side character that could carry their own film. I don't think villains deserve their own films either. Like, I don't think that's necessary for the most part. Like, Joker, like, none of them, really.
No. I get why the interest is there in doing it. It needs to be done right, though, and these haven't been it.
I'm not buying it. That being said, like, Sony's going to do what they're going to do. And here we have a Madame Web movie.
Yeah.
Obviously, El Muerto is, like, the lowest rung. Like, he definitely doesn't need his own movie.
I still don't know why they're going forward with that.
Madame Web's, like, a very close second. Like, she's not.
Here's the thing. This would have been the movie to do if they were trying to build their cinematic universe. This would have been the movie to do it.
I think Madame Web would be a very interesting character in a Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when the Avengers go and see Red Skull. When they go see Red Skull and they're like, oh, you're going to go in there and get the thing and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like, they go see this character.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the type of character Madame Web is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, in a Spider-Man movie that gets mystical for whatever reason, then, like, Peter Parker could go meet. And I think they did that in the cartoon.
They do it in the video games.
Yeah. But she doesn't need her own fucking movie. That being said, again, we're already here. I think the premise is fine. But let's kind of keep breaking it down into categories without spoilers. Story. It's fine on paper, but I think it's the screenplay is so poorly written. I don't like any of the lines. I don't like any of the line delivery.
I don't like the acting in this movie.
Yeah. I think the acting is overall bad. I think Sydney Sweeney is fine. Adam Scott is great because he's a good actor and he can do anything.
Yeah, I could see him growing up to be Uncle Ben.
Yeah. Well, he's actually fantastic. Yeah.
Growing up, he's already an adult. Yeah. But I could see him getting old and being Uncle Ben.
Emma Roberts is also a good actor. She's in three scenes, so who cares?
Right.
She does fine. The other two girls are okay. Dakota Johnson, I don't think, is a good actor at all.
Yeah, her leading the movie, she's a pretty weak lead, honestly.
Have you seen the 50 Shades movies?
I have not.
I've seen the first one, I think, twice. It's like Sable had them on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She's not good in those. I don't think she's a good actor at all.
Oh, man.
I don't know why they keep on.
I was watching interviews with her, too, and she just seems very awkward.
Which is fine, but like.
But like the awkwardness goes into her performance, too. That's the thing.
There are a lot of awkward actors who like can act really well because that's what they're putting their focus on. But like. Right.
I think she's just on set being Dakota Johnson.
But you catch them on the street and you ask them a question. They're like, oh, and they're weird or whatever. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I would be if I was an actor. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, like, her entire performance and anything I see her in, it seems like she's just, like, reading the lines. You know what I mean? Like, she's not acting. I was reading the Wikipedia for this movie. They had a long list of A-list actors, including, like, Amy Adams, like, you know, the Academy Award winners and shit like that.
Right.
And they worked their way down and landed on Dakota Johnson. Yes. I was like, yeah, like, what was that process like? I don't know. Like,
well, and also in all the promotional material, it seems like all of these actors were excited to do this movie because they were under the impression that this was a big Marvel movie.
Yeah. Dakota Johnson and Sydney Sweeney.
I think Sony definitely misled them.
100% thought they were in the MCU. There was an interview with Dakota, and she was saying how, like, she ran into, like, Elizabeth
Olsen.
And she was like, hey, they want me to do this movie. Like, what do you think? And Lizzie Olsen's like, oh, yeah, like, I have so much fun with Marvel and blah, blah, blah. I've been in 10 things and my own show, and I was in this movies.
And she's like, okay, cool.
And she's like, yeah, and it's a great time, and we have fun. And Dakota's like, all right, cool. And, like, they didn't get past, like, oh, you're actually working for a different studio. And they have a horrible track record.
Oof.
Dakota Johnson actually fired her agent. Like, what does that say?
Yikes.
She and Sydney Sweeney, like, 1,000,000% thought that they were in the MCU.
They were definitely misled.
And it's so sad. It's, like, so fucking sad. Again, by the end of this movie, like, I didn't like it. I like the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I would 100% accept if Marvel / Sony incorporated their characters in better stories.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. I like the characters in this movie.
I was
going to
say, the four girls, I like their characters.
Yeah.
You know, this movie was bad. But, like, if you could take them out and it says...
Like, even Ezekiel, I like his character.
Yeah.
The performance, not really it. The ADR, which we haven't talked about yet.
Right. I said the same thing about Venom. Plop these four characters out and put them in like a Marvel-led thing, you know, a Marvel Studios-led thing. I'd be down for that. I don't think they're the problem. Right. I think it's just the, you know, the story's bad, the writing's bad.
The production's bad.
The production's bad, top down.
But how'd you feel about Ezekiel's dialogue mostly being ADR, it seems like? Because that audio was not properly synced up most of the time.
I have two theories on this.
Rewrites?
I don't think that's it, though.
No?
I think maybe he was just hard to understand on the day. He's a French actor.
Yes.
Okay. His name is Tahar Rahim.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually an award-winning actor in France.
Okay.
Like, he's a good actor, I guess. But all his scenes are ADR'd. Like, anytime he's talking, it sounds like he's in a booth.
Yes. And then, like, if they're showing his lips moving, it's not synced up.
It's right. There's a couple times... I mean, at this point,
there's a couple times where it is.
I'm like studying it. Yeah. And I'm like, there's a couple times where like it lines up.
Though.
For the most part, it doesn't perfectly line up.
And a lot of the scenes, it'll show the back of his head and then have the audio play.
Yeah. But the thing, the reason.
If he was in his suit with the ADR, that'd be fine.
He's got Tobey Maguire issues where he keeps on taking his mask off.
Yeah. Quit doing that.
Just leave your mask on and there's no fucking problem. it's like with Deadpool and they film it, but then they can redo it. Later,
yeah,
and Ryan Reynolds goes into a booth and just like reads
a bunch of jokes, whichever one works,
yeah, and then they can just like put it in afterwards, like just do that.
Yeah, here, like it was genuinely distracting,
yeah,
like I'm just like, whoa.
But the reason I don't think it was rewrites is because most of his dialogue, first of all, he gets the worst dialogue, most of his lines,
he's just over explaining what he's doing,
just so expository. It's like, are you talking to the other characters or are you talking to the audience? You know?
And, like, that's a thing that, like, network television shows do. That's not a thing that movies should do.
Yeah, it's real NCIS vibes.
Yeah.
He must have told the character so many times why he's doing what he's doing. Like, he over-explained his motives so many times. There's a character he kills. He's a bad guy. Again, no spoilers, but, like, whatever.
He's a bad guy in the trailer, so...
Yeah, he's the bad guy. There's a character that he kills, and he tells her he's gonna kill her. And why, like he explains,
and why,
and then he kills her, and it's just like it's not in a believable way. It's just like you're just talking to the audience, like. And the reason I don't think it's rewrites is I'm like, this is not a smart movie. They didn't. It's not like they watch this movie and they're like, you know, his motivations aren't really clear. No shot in hell. That's it. Like, there's no way there was a version of this when someone said we need to kind of explain it more. So.
You think it was just like it was hard to understand him?
I think
so
maybe like his accent was tough on the day, and they're like, maybe we go
come back in and read that later.
Yeah, let's go into the booth and see if you can kind of enunciate more or something.
But like, damn, that it was not synced well at all.
Do you notice how much he's enunciating though?
Yeah,
I think the problem was his accent.
Damn,
I even wanted to look up if they Darth Mauled it, if they got
somebody else to voice.
Yeah,
it?
Yeah, if they hired someone else to do the voice, but
maybe
no, it's him.
Oh.
I actually wanted to stay during the credits to see if there was like a different credit line for a voice. To your point, like it's obvious that it's ADR'd.
Yeah.
Action, I think, is fine.
Yeah, I mean, there's not too much of it, but when it's there, it's good.
Again, this is a movie where there are normal people running away from a Spider-Man.
Yeah. It's less of an action movie. It's meant to be more of a thriller.
Yeah. 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 And I feel like they should have sold it as that, right?
Right, they didn't sell it as that at all.
You know what they should have marketed this as? You remember the New Mutants trailer?
They marketed that as a horror movie.
Yeah, and then at the end you're like, oh wait, but it's a superhero thing. That's very interesting.
Yeah, they remember done that. That trailer was very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently the trailer is way better than the movie. Did you ever see it?
Yeah, it's got some horror vibes in it, but again, it doesn't lean into it like it should.
Right.
I think that movie could have been really good if they did though.
Music, I think, is totally fine. I have a question. I meant to look this up. The trailer music, is that not the same trailer music as from Morbius?
It's not.
It's so similar, though.
It's similar. In Morbius, they use the song People Are Strange by The Doors.
Okay.
And they made it like all like creepy
and stuff.
Yeah, but this
has a very similar sound.
I don't know what song it was, but it is a different song.
Oh.
But yeah, no, they went for the same vibes with that. I think the Morbius trailer was better.
Okay. Number one Morbius fan over here. All right, I want to get into spoilers and talk about the last few things. Costumes are good while they're on camera.
We get maybe Are we doing spoilers now?
You should hold that thought. Let's get into spoilers. Hold that thought. All right.
Okay.
Guys, from here on in, we're going to spoil the movie. Again, if you give a shit. Okay, costumes. They're not really in the movie.
No, we get maybe like 20 seconds of it.
Yeah.
And it's like visions of the future.
Right.
So like these girls become Spider-Women in the future.
Right.
And Ezekiel's under the impression, because he's having visions, that they're going to kill him.
Yeah.
I do like Ezekiel's costume that we see throughout the movie, though. I think that's a pretty cool looking spider costume.
Did you like the spider people's costumes?
They were interesting.
They were kind of weird, actually.
It was weird. I'm not against weird, though. So yeah. I thought they were fine. I just wish we... Because there's so much exposition with them, but I also feel like we learn nothing from all the exposition.
I mean, she goes and sees them for a minute, and the dialogue is so... It's so bad. That, like, it's just exposition. It's just like, hey, here's the things. Like, for a movie...
It's like he's reading...
It feels like a video game.
A video game would like do exposition better.
Like an old video game. Not like the new ones that are like suddenly movies. I mean, like back in the day, video games.
Oh, like they would just spout a bunch of dialogue at you and then you're going to the next level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is what you have to do to unlock your powers. It's like, okay, cool. How do I unlock these new powers?
Collect all these things.
Okay, perfect. I don't know if you noticed, but like most superhero movies don't say the word powers because it just feels very gamey and it feels like... Yeah. Like, you're watering down this concept of superheroism.
Well,
all right. You know what I mean?
Speaking of powers, how'd you feel about their line to Cassandra about the, what is it? When you embrace the power, there will come... When you embrace the responsibility, there will come great power.
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's dumb.
It's bad.
Like, I feel like they did that just because they're like, we want to reference Spider-Man.
Okay, here's the thing. This whole
movie, not really.
This whole movie is like a big cock tease for Spider-Man.
It's a big Spider-Man cock tease.
Yeah. That's what the whole thing is.
Mary Parker's pregnant. What's the name of the baby?
Oh, I won't tell you till the end of the movie, and then I still won't tell you. Like, well, obviously we know it's Peter. Just fucking say it and stop being weird about it.
Yeah, you already mentioned that your husband's name is Richard.
Like,
his brother's name is Ben.
You'd be hard-pressed to go anywhere on this goddamn planet and find someone who doesn't know who Peter Parker is and that his name is... Or sorry, find someone who doesn't know Spider-Man and doesn't know that Spider-Man's name is Peter Parker. These are ubiquitous facts.
I'm from Earth 1999999. Who is Peter Parker?
You don't got to cock tease about it. Like, we get it. Also, we already bought the ticket. We're here. You don't got to drag us around. We get it. Like, you're about to give birth to Peter Parker. Cool. Right.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we witnessed Spider-Man's birth in this movie. That's kind of cool, I guess.
I guess.
Except they don't tell us that it's Peter Parker.
I guess. I'm split on that one because it's like, for why, though? You know?
Yeah. Also, this is clearly meant to be the Tom Holland iteration based on the time frame.
So, here's what I think is going on. They wanted to make a movie set in a Spider-Man's universe, right?
Right.
Obviously, they picked Tom Holland. There were reports... that I guess are not true, that they couldn't decide between Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland, and that like they reworked the movie to exclude any like
references to
like the year. That's,
it literally tells you what year it is in the movie.
That's 100% not true. And that's not a redo. That's not a reshoot, because this entire movie is predicated off the fact that it's 2003.
Yeah.
It is so ingrained
down
in this film.
Down to the cars that the cops are using, those Chevy Impalas.
Yeah. There's their vehicles. There's the cell phones. There's the computers.
Yep.
Sony put Sony Vaio computers, which they don't make anymore. But they were tickled by the idea that they could put their old computers in this movie as some sort of retro product placement.
It was also during a time where Pepsi was popular.
Is Pepsi any less popular now than it was in
2003? 2003, that was around the time Britney Spears was promoting it, right?
I mean...
She was doing a lot of Pepsi ads.
I don't know.
And she was... She was the hot thing back then.
Yeah. So there's a Britney Spears song in this, Toxic, that they...
I remember when that song came out.
Okay, here's the thing. They're literally singing it in the movie. On the day that they filmed this, they're singing the song. So this isn't a case where like, oh, we'll pick the song later. You know what I mean?
The song was... Also, the song actually really works with the sequence that it's in.
Oh, no, I think it's great.
It works really
well.
I think
it's fantastic. The use of the music, that is.
Yeah.
But like, also that action scene's pretty good too in the diner.
Yeah,
I thought that was fine.
That was one of the ones that, like, if more of the movie was like that and, like, the chase in the subway station, I think this could have been something good.
So, I saw a complaint, and this goes back to my original point about how, like, you can't just say something's bad and just, like, that's enough, right?
Right.
Like, someone said...
Give reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, be unbiased. But someone said, like, oh, on two occasions, Ezekiel, like the evil Spider-Man, gets hit by a car. And they said that as if that's a bad thing. And again, the premise of this is normal people running away from an evil Spider-Man. What the fuck else are they going to do but try to hit him with a car?
Also, the main character can see the future.
Yeah.
So she knows where to drive that car.
Exactly. She should be driving all the cars at him because that's her one weapon, basically. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she probably can't shoot him. She doesn't have a gun either. So it's like... Right.
She's what, an EMT?
Yeah.
They don't carry.
No. So that just goes to show, don't fucking believe any of this shit that you read before a movie comes out. You know?
Right.
Like, on the topic of Avatar, a lot of people are under the impression that Sozin's comet isn't in the show. It's like the first thing in the show. Like, we saw episode one. The first thing you see is Sozin's comet.
Yeah.
So what the fuck, dude? Like, just shut the fuck. Like, just take a minute and maybe don't believe what you read on the internet until you watch the movie or the show. You know? Because I can't fathom a way in which they would have tried to scrub this movie of its 2003 setting. It would be impossible.
I do kind of believe the trying to scrub direct Spider-Man references just because of a Peter Cocktease shit.
Even then, there isn't a Spider-Man whose name isn't Peter Parker.
There's a lot of Spider-Man who aren't named Peter Parker.
I mean these ones. But anyway, I truly believe that they made this movie with the intention of just leaving it open-ended enough to whereas if in the future they can agree to use Tom Holland as this universe Spider-Man,
it would
fit in that role.
Yeah, because I could see this Ben getting with Marissa Tomei. Aunt May.
And the ages all line up.
Yeah.
The timeline lines up.
Yeah.
The only thing is that we see MetLife building.
Oh.
And, well, here's the thing. At some point, maybe MetLife comes down and Stark Tower goes up.
That's true. Because Stark Tower wasn't built till 2012. It had just been built in Avengers.
Oh. So, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the new tower. You're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe the MetLife was like torn down. Ooh.
Whoa. If you do some mental gymnastics, this could be in the MCU.
Well, yeah, I think that's Sony's endgame. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Venom's already in the MCU.
Well... Yes, those movies do not take place in the MCU, but now Venom is in the MCU.
But then also not.
Through like a sneaky way.
Yeah. He was in and out.
Right. They brought him in, then Marvel Studios yeeted him out, but they kept a little piece of Venom just in case.
Right, that's right. Yeah. You never know. What are some of the things?
I thought some of the camera work was really bad and nauseating. Not as bad as Spirit of Vengeance, but close to that.
So like, no, there's nothing worse than Spirit of Vengeance. The nauseating part comes from the fact that they're trying to make the flashbacks and the dream sequences seem like they're not fully real, right? And so they do all this quick cutting and stuff.
Quick cutting. There's a lot of the camera literally flipping upside down. Yeah. And so, like, why are you doing this?
I didn't like that. I feel like you could get across that it's a dream sequence without fucking with the cinematography, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have fun with it? I had fun with it. Look.
I had fun with parts of it. I'm not upset that I saw the movie or anything. Like,
yeah. H. Skeleton says, also a huge fan of you guys. Love the podcast. Listen to it at work all the time.
Oh, thank you
very much. That means the world, actually. I love to hear that.
There's just a lot of like weird little quirks in this movie. A lot of it comes down to just line delivery.
I think it's mostly line delivery.
Because there were points where I was like, did you really fucking just say that?
I think if you had marketed this movie differently and you had directed it better, like, and written it a little bit. I realize I'm saying a lot of things.
And had better cinematography and...
All I'm saying is, if someone better had taken a pass on this script and just wrote the lines a little bit better and spent maybe a little bit more time developing the spider people, like, the mom's character, she just spouts exposition and dies. You know?
Yeah.
Like, she does nothing. And she's not believable in any way. But then, like, later on, she goes and meets those spider people, and then it's just, like, exposition dump.
Yeah.
And then, like, she gets out. If all of that was written a little bit better...
It could have been interesting.
The bones of this movie, I don't think, are bad. I think you could have made something decent out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest is just on actor delivery. It's just giving them direction. So,
I mean, it is, like I said, it's, like, super interesting concept, super poor execution, though. It just seems like you like it a little bit more than I do.
I like it better than Venom because Venom upsets me.
I like this better than Venom too because again, Venom upset me too.
And right? I like it better than Morbius because Morbius had so many scenes that like were cut in ways that didn't make sense. Well,
I think a bunch was literally cut out of that movie though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which makes it a worse movie than this in my opinion.
I see. I feel like something about this movie though, and it might just be the overall production of it. It feels like an unfinished movie was just like released. Like this feels like a first cut or something.
Yeah, no, 100%. I do not disagree with you. But I feel like Morbius is still worse.
I disagree.
Oh, well, okay. Number one Morbius fan.
I feel like
over
Morbius
here.
Was at least a complete movie. Mostly complete movie, I should say. I can't give it too much credit.
End credits, there are none. There's no mid-credit scene. However, did you notice there's a scene at the end where she looks into the future? Oh, that's the other thing. I don't mind the idea of the three Spider-Women not being in this movie, really. Because
I don't mind that either, but like they leaned into it hard in the marketing.
It's just the market. They shouldn't have been in the marketing at all.
It should have been a surprise.
Yeah. But then again, it's like, okay, cool. Like,
but then how are you going to get people in the movie?
How are you going to get Sydney Sweeney and the thing, blah, 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 blah. But there's that scene where she sees into the future and she's like, because at the end she gets all fucking weird and clairvoyant, right?
Yeah.
And impossible to talk to. And she's annoying everybody with her fucking pompous fucking attitude. But anyway.
So she's Madam Web.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But anyway. And she's wearing the fucking glasses.
Yeah.
But she sees the future where like she's coaching like three Spider-Women to like go be heroes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's a camera sweep up the building. It almost like swings up. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
That is directly stolen from Spider-Man 2. That shot was not. And if you like, even on the day, I was like, this seems like lower resolution compared to the rest of the movie. It feels older.
Oh, like they literally took it?
Yes. No. It is shot. Like they took that shot.
They didn't recreate it.
No.
Oh my God.
I feel like it was an entire post-production thing.
Why?
I don't know. But it's literally a shot from Spider-Man 2 in this movie. It has like a certain graininess to it that you know it doesn't belong in the film. Yeah. Like it's, you know what I'm saying?
Ooh, can I say a Spider-Man 2 hot take real quick?
It's not that good.
It's not. I think the first one's better.
Yeah, first one's way better.
But people, like...
I don't get it.
People praise Spider-Man 2. I think Spider-Man 1's better.
I'm right there with you. I don't understand it.
No, Spider-Man 3, that's shit.
Everyone agrees.
Sam Raimi agrees.
But Spider-Man 2 is not the ultimate...
It's not the pinnacle of...
Yeah. Pre-MCU
Pre-MCU Marvel
movies.
Or yeah.
Pre-The Dark Knight superhero movies. No, it's not.
Oh, my other hot take. I don't think The Dark Knight is the best Batman movie.
Well, you're wrong. But anyway...
I like Batman Begins better, honestly. Is that weird?
A little bit.
Huh.
Batman Begins is good. I like Batman Begins.
Huh. Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, I don't know what they were getting at, but that's the closest thing you have to like a post-credits. Again, I wouldn't mind seeing some of those characters in the MCU if they borrowed them, especially Sydney Sweeney. And Madame Web in a scene where Spider-Man goes and talks to her and she's like, she does the architect
I feel
from
like she could
the
do,
Matrix.
I feel
you
like
know?
They could have her be involved, if they really wanted to, have her be involved in Secret Wars in some capacity.
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, why not?
Maybe she connects all three of the Peters.
Yes. All three of the Peters have to go and see her.
For something. If they really want to do it, and I think they could.
And she delivers news they don't want to hear. And they're like, oh, no, but you're wrong. And blah, 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 blah. And then they leave. And then by the end of the movie, they realize that she's right.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
That being said, they're probably not going to do that. But they could.
They famously don't listen to our podcast for ideas.
Though no, they do not.
Fucking should.
Amy Pascal?
Yeah. Spider Nerd is saying Spider-Man 2 is extremely overrated. Thank you for agreeing
with
us.
Yes, thank you. And you're the Spider Nerd and you agree.
Yeah. I think it's fine. Don't get me wrong. And I actually do like that movie. I just don't think it's... I think it's kind of campy. Like,
do you
I don't
think the
Chasm
movies are underrated? Because I do.
Anyway. You know, this movie actually made me think about how much I don't like the Amazing Spider-Man 2 because it sets up Spider-Man... as like this predestined like character.
Well, here's the thing. The comics did that too.
No, dude. Spider-Man is not a like... Destiny has nothing to do with
it. It wasn't the original intention of the character.
He stumbled upon this and now it's
but
his responsibility.
In the like 60 it's plus years choice. He's been around, he's evolved a little bit.
I don't like it.
We totally just talked over each other that whole time. Danger Ranger 1 says the movies would be much better if they listened to you guys. I agree. Thank you.
Yeah, movies would be better if they listened to me. They should have hired me instead of James Gunn and run the DC.
Oh, God. maybe, actually.
Okay, come on. You know I have good ideas.
You would have You would have gone all in on saving the Snyderverse.
Yeah. For a little bit, not forever. Like, you know, everything has to come to an end. Anyway, let's wrap this up. Any other thoughts before we finish this episode?
I think I wanted this movie to be better. It's like, I feel like I went in knowing this isn't going to be good,
mm-hmm.
but I hope it is.
Well, see, again, that's better than...
I don't want these movies to be bad.
It's better than the average person. It's like, oh, I'm so happy to go see a bad movie. Do you remember Morbius? When we sat down...
The people behind us were just giggling at nothing?
The second scene in Morbius is set in, like, Greece, right?
Right.
It cuts to Greece. It's an establishing shot.
Right.
Which means it's just showing where you are. There's nothing good or bad about this. And they start giggling like, oh, like, this movie's so bad. Ha, ha, ha. Like, this isn't the bad part, dude.
Nothing's happened yet. Well, I remember we both said during the movies, like, I was waiting for it to get bad.
I mean, it's not great, but yeah.
No, but it wasn't like...
It wasn't laughably
It wasn't
bad.
Offensive or anything.
Right,
like,
exactly. Yeah. Anyway. Final thoughts. I think this movie is not good, but I enjoyed it to an extent. I like the premise. I like the idea. And I like some of these characters, though I thought most of them read their lines very poorly. I thought the lines were bad to begin with also. So, whatever. I'd like to see a better version of these characters in the future with these same actors, because I do appreciate some of them.
Okay.
How's that?
All right. And...
There you go.
All right. My thoughts are, and I've said it a few times, it's like, I think the premise is super interesting. I even think a couple of the scenes are pretty cool. A couple of, like, the chase scenes I actually quite like.
Yeah.
But I think the execution is kind of awful.
Yeah.
Down to, like you said, the line delivery, the acting in most cases. The camera work is not good.
How does
ADR with Ezekiel's very distracting.
How does Ezekiel, like, change into his costume? Because there's like the...
Think about that.
But there's like a weird like nightmare-y sequence where like suddenly he's in his costume. And it's like, he's not like that kind of character. So how does he do... Like, he has to physically put on his costume, right?
Yeah, but I think he already had the costume on. I think she was just seeing shit.
Oh, like maybe she was seeing different features or something?
That's what I got out of it.
I didn't understand. That's not what I got. it's not clear.
Oh, and sound mixing this, not great.
Think about it too hard.
It does that thing where it gets super, super, super loud, and it gets super, super, super quiet, and it's like, it goes a little too far.
Oh, you know what I didn't like? We didn't talk about it. The scene where she astro projects.
It didn't look good. I'm fine with her doing that. I don't think it looked good, though. It
looked really bad. And again, I feel like the script is written for like 3-year-olds, where it's like it over-explains, and like every time she went to help someone, she's like, hey, you're going to be all right. Cuts to the next person. Hey, I'm here. Like, hold my hand.
I'm here to help you.
It's like, yeah. No, we know. You don't have to, like, say it.
It was also already explained in the movie that she could use her powers of being more than one place at once.
Oh, yeah. And then there's a voiceover that reminds us about it.
Yeah, it does that.
It was 10 minutes ago.
This isn't a long movie, and it assumes that we're...
It's like an hour 50.
It assumes we're stupid enough to not understand, or that we have already forgotten what you had already told us 10 minutes ago.
I mean, in fairness, there's a lot of people in front of us not paying attention. They're on their phones,
they were
shining.
Like, oh, they were like flashbanging us with that shit.
Bro.
Full brightness, just like, oh, God.
There was some fucking boomer with his phone on.
And he kept showing 100... the phone to the guy next
to him. It's a dark theater, and his phone's on 100% brightness.
It was an old guy.
So bright. Like, it was like... Like a flash, like you said, it was like a flashbang to our face.
And you just hear people around us going like, what the fuck?
it's affecting everybody. The whole theater's affected by this one phone. It was ridiculous.
It was so bright.
I saw a guy in front of me, like, open up his Instagram and just kind of, like, lightly browse a little bit, watch some
stories.
Like,
he got bored?
Like, I'm like, oh, he's really bored.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Anyway, on that note, you guys.
Like, yeah, it does drag a little in the middle of the movie, but...
That's it for us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you to that piano dude for following us on Twitch, but also for his musical intro. Make sure you guys leave a rating or review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get this podcast. Please tell a friend, and thank you so much for telling a friend. You can support the show on Patreon, where we get special access to our second podcast called Where's Mephisto? Birdo, where's Mephisto?
I don't know.
Okay, where could he be?
he could be. We recently looked for him in Echo.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, not in there.
Yeah, he ain't there. next will probably be, The Last Airbender.
Avatar, The Last Airbender. Yeah.
The new Netflix TV show.
Hell yeah.
So basically what we do in that podcast, we watch streaming television and we ask the burning question, where's Mephisto?
Where's Mephisto? He could
Is
be in
he
any
in this? Is he pulling the strings?
He could be.
I don't know.
Let's find out with us on Patreon. If you, we live stream all these episodes as we record them. That's twitch.tv/filmsfrompz. You can hang out with us, like all our good friends that have been here today. Spider Nerd Cosplay, Birkinator, Philly to the J,
Rambo.
Rambo.
Arculus.
Arculus.
Generous Fingers.
Generous Fingers.
Who else we got?
Danger Ranger.
Danger Ranger. Oh. H-Skeleton.
H-Skeleton. Yes, first time chat.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
It's in Spanish.
I don't know if they... Oh, yeah, it is in Spanish, so it was hard for me to...
But it's funny because the translation is intervention.
Oh, okay.
First time intervention.
Not interaction? Oh, and Captain. We didn't say Captain either.
Oh, and Captain. Yeah. So, great group on a Friday night. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. If you want to be as cool as them, come hang out with us on twitch.tv/filmsfrompz.
Hell yeah.
Also, if you want to talk to us, all you guys in the chat, if you want to talk to us throughout the week, join our Discord server. It's linked below. It's absolutely free. And we just talk about all kinds of things all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Films from the Phantom Zone, Twitter at Films from PZ, TikTok Films from PZ, YouTube Films from PZ, where we also stream these things. We're also multi-streaming on Twitter/X and on YouTube.
If anybody watches streams on those.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. Other than that, you guys, we'll see you next week. What movie are we doing?
I don't think we've picked one yet. I was also going to ask, before you start your new job, do you want to borrow my PS5 and play Spider-Man 2?
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Are you not using your PS5?
Not at the moment, no.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I'm playing Suicide Squad on PC.
Oh, yeah. I'd love that. So, yeah. At some point, we have to do the Wolverine movie. So, I don't know if that's coming up next. But, I don't know. Stay tuned. Follow us on your podcast player of choice. And we'll see you guys then. And goodbye.
Bye.